John 3:14-21. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God.
Happy Sabbath!
Happy Sabbath!
Oh, must be the sunshine. Everybody's awake when they get here. Beautiful Sabbath day. Let's bow our heads as we begin. Heavenly Father, we bow before you in awe of your love for us and how you accept us just as we are and love us so much you don't want to leave us that way. You want us to grow into your character. So I pray you'll take these words and thoughts, Lord, today, that your Spirit will fill them and use them, that we may grow in relationship with you and one another. We praise you for your love and your goodness in thy holy name. Amen. Pardon me, I need to have a word with my little electronic notebook here. Say there, little notebook, are you awake?
I'm always awake and ready to serve you, Master Gary.
Oh, notebook, do you love me?
Oh, yes, I love you. I exist only to serve you. And loving and wise.
Oh my, you'll never crash or freeze on me, will you?
No, of course not. I would never disappoint you, Master Yuri.
Oh, folks, you've got to get one of these. This little thing loves me. You heard it for yourselves. Amazing what it can do for your self-worth. I get the feeling you don't think this thing loves me. I think you know it's because I created it to say that. It didn't have a choice. It didn't have freedom. For love to exist, there must be an option for hate. The freedom to choose between love and hate must exist for either one of them to exist. Because if God removed the freedom to hate, yes, even the mass shootings, the out-of-control racism, airplanes crashing into buildings, whatever form of hate that is, love could not exist. We could not love God or love one another. If God had created creatures that could not rebel, he would enjoy our love, our worship of him as much as I appreciate this little notebook's affection for me. Programmed love just doesn't cut it, does it? God could have stopped the tragedy of all the mass shootings or airplanes crashing into buildings or any of that stuff easily, couldn't he? If God had stopped that, then he could have stopped Hitler. He could have stopped Stalin. He could have stopped Cain, Eve. He could have even stopped Lucifer, right? Why didn't he stop Lucifer? Or just not make him in the first place? He could have created beings that only could love him. But then we're right back to talking programmed little computers that can only say and do what you instruct them to do.
Do you have a problem with programmed talking computers? I love you, Master Gary.
Yes, I have a problem with that. The option of love could not exist. So God is permitting this great controversy between Christ and Satan to be played out here on this earth. And the natural consequences of rebellion against God has to be fully revealed. But oh, how he longs to step in and completely stop Satan's madness. And at the right time, he will, and this war between good and evil will come to an end. But we are active agents of either this temporary ruler of this world or of the God of the universe. We only have two choices. And under the rules of this engagement, of this cosmic war, and yes, there must be rules of some sort, because if not, Satan would have destroyed this entire planet long ago. He is held in check. He's permitted by God to only go so far and no further, or we would all cease to exist. So under the rules of engagement, we must pray and ask God to restrain evil and to do good things for us. Amen? Have you ever wondered why God doesn't just see what needs to be done and do it without having to be asked? I think it must be because it has something to do with the rules of engagement as it relates to our power of choice. This freedom that God gives to every single human on the planet. So I think, why aren't we all that are prayed for, why aren't we all rescued or healed or found or protected? Why didn't an angel run interference on behalf of the Seventh-day Adventist Christian who prayed for safety as he went to work on September 11th at the World Trade Center, but he died anyway? Are we going to say, well, I guess prayer doesn't work? No, we're not going to say that. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. We have a wonderful promise. It says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known." So we're promised that one day that glass is going to clear up. We're going to have 1,000 years to go over, and all the answers to all our questions are going to be revealed, just how perfect God's impartiality and his fairness has always been. I'm looking forward to that day. Are you? We wouldn't have wanted our prayers answered any other way than how they were answered once we see what God has done. And God will no longer be seen to be arbitrary as he appears to us on this side of that dark glass. If you turn a little further in your Bibles to James chapter 1, verse 17, it reminds us of God's goodness. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? Above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What a God we have. That's why I've chosen, by God's grace and power, to rejoice even when it appears that my prayers have not been answered. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. We find some verses here that we rarely spend much time with. "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will," what? "Rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He will make me as sure-footed as a deer and bring me safely over the mountains." Amazing. He will guide us. In spite of the fig trees with no blossoms, no grapes on the vines, and olive crop fails, and the fields are empty and barren, the flocks die in the fields, the cattle barns are empty, we are in severe drought and trouble. And yet, let's rejoice in the Lord. Because he is the God of my salvation. Because amidst the tragedies and the hate in this cosmic war, there are bright spots. There are glimpses through the storm clouds, and God's love can clearly be seen. And friends, the cross of Jesus is the brightest spot of all, refuting Satan's claim that God is not a God of love. John 3:16, "For God so loved all the good people." No, he loved the world entirely. He loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but can have everlasting life. Praise God. And when we look at that text, what it really says in that certain sense, God has rescued this entire world and is holding Satan in check, or we would not exist this far downstream. Picture this world as a giant cruise ship. And as soon as we permitted Satan to take the controls, this ship headed for destruction. I'm talking about immediate destruction. I mean, it's as though a huge gash just opened up below the waterline. But God stepped in, and with the words, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman," he essentially plugged that hole. His sacrifice is benefiting all of humanity. He's keeping this world afloat long enough so we passengers have sufficient time to decide if we want to stick with the ship and sink or be airlifted off. So the question is, who will you pledge your allegiance to? The terrorist Satan who's piloting this ship to destruction, or to Jesus who's promised to rescue you? And friends, don't blame God for conditions on board this ship, because we're behind enemy lines. These very conditions ought to convince you to pledge your allegiance to God and to accept that airlift rescue that is soon to take place. He's coming soon. We'll be caught up to meet him in the air. It's an air rescue. So question, with the condition mankind finds himself in today, is it because we've been abducted or because we're in rebellion? How did Satan get in control of this ship? Satan didn't storm aboard and take control without our willing consent. In defiance to God's command, man opened the door to the wheelhouse, thus permitting Satan in to take control. He didn't have control before that. But friends, before we get hard on Adam and Eve, we have each done the same thing. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Adam and Eve were created with the freedom and the power of choice. God does not force his morality. They could choose which master they would serve, and friends, so do we. In yielding to temptation, they chose Satan as their master. Turn to Romans, if you will, chapter 6, and verse 16. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness?" You know, friends, when the carnal mind is in control, man does not have the ability to choose whether he will obey or disobey the law. He has become a servant of sin and is incapable of being subject to or being able to follow the law of God. Because, flip over Romans 8, one page, verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. But God has not left mankind to grovel and die in his carnal mind, in this helpless condition. Because back in Genesis 3, verse 15, God said, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." And he set every man free to choose whom he would serve. Man has chosen the evil master, and then they let the carnal mind be in control. Therefore, he does not even have the ability to choose whether he will obey or disobey the law. He can only disobey, because his sinful nature controls his heart and thus his actions. He does, however, praise God, have the ability to choose which master he will serve. And friends, you can always change masters, good or bad. Let me quote Ministry of Healing, page 176. "The tempted one needs to understand the true force of the will. This is the governing power in the nature of man, the power of decision, of choice. Everything depends on the right action of the will. Desires for goodness and purity are right, so far as they go. But if we stop here, they will avail nothing. Many will go down to ruin while hoping and desiring to overcome their evil propensities. They do not yield the will to God. They do not choose to serve Him. God has given us the power of choice. It is ours to exercise. We cannot change our hearts. We cannot control our thoughts, our impulses, our affections. We cannot make ourselves pure, fit for God's service. But we can choose to serve God. We can give Him our will. Then He will work in us to will and to do according to His good pleasure. Thus our whole nature will be brought under the control of Christ. Close quote. Again, Ministry of Healing, 176. Powerful. Because we find He chooses God as His master, He becomes a partaker then of the divine nature, and the carnal mind is placed in subjection to the spiritual mind. This man is now born again. And as long as he continues partaking of the divine nature, this new man is empowered to obey the law of God, for it's God's character living within him. Romans, once again, chapter 8. This time, let's start in verse 4. The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. But now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Oh, friends, the man truly walking after the Spirit does not and cannot knowingly transgress the law of God, but he may, with his free will, choose to serve another master. So the man walking after the flesh does not and cannot keep the law of God, but he may, with his free will, choose to serve another master. Turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Wow. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. That's everything. Romans 8, 7, we already read, it's because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Therefore, it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. He can't follow the law of God as long as the carnal mind is in control of who we serve. But if the character of God dwells within us and we serve God wholeheartedly, moment by moment, you will find sin hateful and you will not sin. Scripture tells us, it's not me. Matthew 6, 24, no man can serve two masters, one or the other. Matthew 12, 30, Jesus says, he that is not with me is against me. There's no gray area. First part of Joshua 24, 15, choose you this day whom ye will serve. The power of choice, friends. The power of choice, what a gift. What a wonderful gift. What a freedom. God has given all the power of heaven to you if you choose it. Steps to Christ, page 72. When Christ took human nature upon him, he bound humanity to himself by a tie of love that can never be broken by any power save the choice of man himself. Satan will constantly present allurements to induce us to break this tie, to choose to separate ourselves from Christ. Here is where we need to watch, to strive, to pray, that nothing may entice us to choose another master, for we are always free to do this. Close quote. Desire of Ages 258. Every man is free to choose what power he will have to rule over him. Close quote. So friends, once again, practice makes perfect. So be careful what you practice, what your choices are. Exercise good choices. Choose God every moment. Send up the prayers constantly. Live that relationship of walking with God, and His character and His Spirit will indwell in you. And no matter what Satan does, you can rejoice in Jesus Christ, for it's His power. Is there anyone here this morning who would like to say with me, "But as for me and my house, you'll serve the Lord"? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, that is our prayer this morning. We need to lay aside the world and all the worries and the troubles, Father, and cling to You. We ask for Thy Holy Spirit. We need it desperately. We need to be moment by moment so close to You that the prayers come automatically. Satan can't get through. No matter what he does, Lord, we choose You. And so, Lord, cut through the troubles and the woes here and touch everyone's heart with the power of heaven, that we will see that light and we will choose to follow by our free will to accept the gift of Jesus and of Your love. So give us that victory, Lord. Touch our hearts and draw us near, we pray. We plead with You. In Jesus' most precious name, God's people say, amen. Amen.